qualification.
Go ahead, Connie.
I don't know if you had that one. Actually, there, I don't think there's a requirement on the Pioneer Homes in terms of age. There isn't. However, and it has not always been all elderly folks, but they're generally representative of the area of the, one of the homes.
Mm-hmm. And we also have family members of members of the Pioneer Homes.
Right.
It's one of the models that we've had, people who've had parents in the Pioneer Homes.
By law, in the older Alaskans Commission, the Alaskan Commission on Aging, of the 7 lay members selected by the governor, 6 of them have to be over the age of 65, 5 of them have to be over the age of 65, over the age of 60, 4 of those have to be over the age of 65. In practice, almost always people are in their late 50s, in 60s and 70s. Then the chairman of the Pioneer Homes Commission is a member and doesn't have to necessarily be of a certain age. And then you have the 3 commissioners of Health and Social Administration and Community Regional Affairs, and
do
we don't have age requirements on them.
Thank you, Finch.
They just get that way fast in that job. I'll tell you. Sorry.
Thank you. Other questions on Senate Bill 250? If not, I'd like to call on a couple of more people who have signed up on teleconference. First, Mr. Ernest Line in Mat-Su.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record and then give your testimony.
My name is Line, first name Ernest. I live in Wasilla, 2645 Whispering Woods Drive. Before I make any comments, I would like to make this observation. Excuse me. The legislature and others down there might be concerned about senior circumstances. Might want to lend a little attention to something of this kind. There appears to be a gap somewhere here having to do with those people who might want to stay at home who are not physically homebound. They don't have the skilled needs listed by Medicare standards, and they are not reduced to Medicaid health care. Now, that's something that you might want to think about, but none of these 3 seem to address. Since we got in here a little late, one observation on 248, and it's also in 250, having to do with those who might report abuse. And I was wondering if you might want to add relative, friend, because relative or friend is not listed in any of the 13 that are present, at least 14 that are there. Now back to 249, if I may please. Should there be an offer, or the home should offer a fee limitation or a range, or rather it should be done by the legislature. One of the great fears of seniors who might be thinking about a nursing care home is the cost. And this cost, this situation could reduce seniors to penury in no time at all. And something of the assisted living type thing, I think, should have some limitations on there that are reasonable. Another observation. To add to Article 3, residents' rights, might not there be some provision made that there be a regularly scheduled physician's visit so that people under the assisted living care program might be able to take care of little pains and bits and whatever that they're concerned about at that time. On page 15, be notified in writing within 30 days after the filing of the grievance, of the final decision of the home regarding the grievance. And I wrote a little question after that, and I asked, is there no appeal beyond that determination by the home itself? Discharge, having to do with retaliation against a home resident. Discharge of a resident by an assisted living home within 60 days. What about after 60 days? Next on page 17, but who are not diagnosed as chronically mentally ill. when you're speaking of not diagnosed as chronically mentally ill, does this include Alzheimer's at any of its several stages? All having to do with licensing of the various types, boarding homes, foster homes, group homes, etc., etc. And on the boarding homes bit, I had a question. Does this include what we, who are a little older at an earlier time, just called plain boarding houses? And then, a certificate of need. What does a certificate of need require that would satisfy that need? If you could or would answer any of those, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Lyon, I think that the commissioner would be happy to respond to some of these. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
What I was going to mention is that, for your information and for those people on the line, we are sponsoring a teleconference, an administrative teleconference, tomorrow through the LIOs, where we will have our staff available to answer questions specifically for the seniors if they would like to do that, and that teleconference was noticed and announced some time ago. So we will also be available tomorrow morning to answer people's specific questions. But certainly we would be happy to respond to Mr. Lyme's questions now, Connie.
Thank you. I hope, Mr. Lyme, I got all the notes down. Senator, Chairman Rieger, if there's time, it's a long list, and I could also, perhaps, if I could get your phone number, if we run out of time today, I would be glad to contact you directly, because some of them are rather detailed.
376-6709.
Oops. Say that again, please, sir.
376-6709.
Okay. Let me just answer a couple of the highlights I think that I caught. You're right, this bill itself does not take care of the home care for moderate-income people. However, that is part of long-term care planning the state's engaged in, that we eventually will probably need to move towards some assistance for people with that. There are some state services available right now. Personal care services run through the Public Health Division are available from a regional contractor in the Matsu Valley, for instance, and those are not Medicaid limited. And persons can access those at any income level to get some home care and some chore service on a sliding fee scale basis in their home. As I'm just going over them really quickly, I think the reason in Senate Bill 248 that family and relatives are not listed as reporters is that these are people who must report under pain of it being a crime if they fail to report. Any person may report and gets immunity for reporting and can't be sued for reporting and can have it kept confidential, but the people listed are considered to be persons in some sort of professional or paraprofessional capacity who, as part of their duty of their job, have a duty to report, and their failure to report actually subjects them to a criminal penalty. So that's why a family member has never been included as a mandatory reporter. Right now, as to fees to be set by the legislature, it is the intent of the administration in introducing this bill that this kind of care, we hope, would be not so overly regulated that the fees for it are driven up to the point that they are by the very, very heavy federal regulation of nursing homes. That's part of what drives nursing home costs up, is the heavy regulation and the requirement that every nursing home, whether it be a 5-person nursing home in Kotzebue or a 400-person nursing home in New York City, have all of the same capabilities, the same staffing, the same services. And so this bill is meant to be more flexible, but the market would figure out the fees. The state would not actually at this point set them. In terms of residence rights, each of the facilities, depending on what they are, if they're small, would probably not be able to always be the one that provides a medical visit by a doctor, but arranging a home health nurse to regularly visit all of the residents would be the type of model that we hope will be developed by the private sector. The being notified in writing about grievances, the appeal from a grievance between a resident and the facility would then be, if the resident feels strongly that something's not appropriate, would be to contact a licensing agency or the person's own legal representative, attorney, or advocacy agency or legal services. And I'm sorry, I'm running through them quickly. In terms of discharge or the definition of chronically mentally ill, no, it's recognized in the state that chronic mental illness does not include any type of Alzheimer's or dementia. These are similar to what you used to call boarding homes, except that they offer not just what it used to be called, three hots and a cot. It is not three meals and a bed. There also are some additional personal care services or helping the person supervise and put together their personal care services. And finally, the certificate of need that's mentioned in the last part of the bill is actually to exempt these homes from having to go through a certificate of need as a home for the disabled, so that they are not subject to that state regulation of a certificate of need. Is it meant to exempt them, not to include them? So I think it would not concern you. I hope I've gotten most of your points.
Got one question back to Alzheimer's. What might be a chronic mental situation? Something like schizophrenia?
Go ahead.
Senator and members of the committee, yes, Mr. Lyme, something like a schizophrenia with a behavior pattern that the home could not handle, with some sort of violent acting out behavior, harm to other residents, potential harm to other residents, something not controllable through therapy or medication.
Okay, that's all very good. Coming back to what you spoke out a little while ago having to do with home care, where can this kind of thing that you mentioned, where can I get information on that? Local hospital?
I'll allow you to go ahead and answer that. You know, even though it's not on 248, go ahead.
Okay, sir, the easiest way would be to call the Palmer Senior Center and talk to the care coordinators there, and they have the number. I think it's actually the Kenai Home Health Agency is providing that care. It has an office in the Matsu Valley. They should be in your phone book, the Kenai Home Health Care Agency, and they are providing that care in your borough.
Kenai? No, he's from Wasilla, isn't he?
I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though I know you're in the Matsu Valley, but the state awarded regional contracts, and the regional contract for your area was won by the Kenai Peninsula Healthcare Organization. If you have trouble finding their number, the Palmer Senior Center has it.
Okay, I think that's all I have for the time. Thank you.
Great. Okay, thank you. Are there other questions for Mr. Lyne? Okay, if not, next is Rose Palmquist. Could you, if I can interrupt, could you please state your name for the record?
My name is Rose Palmquist. I live in Wasilla, box number 870294. My telephone number is 376-2274. My main concern is the administration and cost of 249. Although you do not have a typical note, I believe that there should be one. I have conceived that if they adding to the nursing home program, the boarding home program, by this bill, which would greatly increase the that type of facility with assisted living added onto it, that the state would not incur a lot of administrative rules, regulations, monitoring, inspections, and therefore additional costs. I believe before you get deeply into this, that the state will need and the legislators will need a additional note which addresses that. To say that there will be no additional expenses, I think, is an illusion. The other thing is that I believe that though it's the intent of the bill is very good, to do it with top cost, I think, will cause a lot of problems. For instance, you know that there will be many, many complaints. You have a procedure for handling complaints, and Mr. Lyne has also already addressed that if the decision of the boarding home administration is not adequate or sufficient to solve the problem of the grievance, then you are going to have additional problems, and you have made no provision for handling those. The other question is, will the nursing home ombudsman be involved in these situations? It doesn't mention in the bill, but the question will arise in the minds of those of us who are in the senior citizen advocacy role that it does not address that. I fought the legislature for the concept, the governor's bill for addressing the problem, but there are two major concerns. One was the people that are left out. Mr. Lyne addressed that, and I would also have had family experiences where
home care who aren't in project
where Medicaid was not involved, and the rules and regulations immediately exclude anyone that goes out of his own home.
It's okay. That's what this is.
So that you have the lower middle income, and up till now, those type of cases have not had a program in the localities for a fee scale that might solve the problem. And the other one is, as I've already mentioned, is that you're taking on a considerable administrative responsibility with no fiscal loan. That concludes my comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Ysera, do you have any comments to make with respect to the fiscal notes, or Connie?
Mr. Chairman, if you're asking, there is a fiscal note associated with this for the licensing over in Health and Social Services for the new licensing of assisted living homes for the developmentally disabled.
Right. I see that one.
And we believe, keep in mind that this is going to be administered by the new Division of Senior Services, which means that we are going to be shifting a lot of our administrative structures right now into a much more efficient system, which we believe will free up resources, which we will then shift into this new responsibility. So this is the value added of being able to consolidate these programs, is that where we're seeing duplication of certain administrative costs, we can now dedicate that to new areas. So we believe, while I appreciate the fact that sometimes, more is better, in this case, we think that we can do it within existing resources.
And not to the extent of submitting a negative fiscal note.
I would like to comment on Senate Bill 250, and that is that...
Ms. Palmquist, go ahead. I have to point out we have to yield the room in about 5 minutes. I'm not sure if there's anyone else left on teleconference, but...
I'll be through in more than 5 minutes.
Okay,
five
great.
My concern with that bill is that it does not increase the input from the seniors into their own destiny, and I have sent POMs to most of the active people in the legislature. This bill will reduce the input from seniors and increase the power of the bureaucracy. And that ends my comments.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions of Rose Palmquist? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony, and also thank you, Mr. Lyon, for yours. Is there anyone else on teleconference who wishes to testify? We've got about 3 minutes left. If not, is there anyone here in Juneau who wishes to testify? Did you want to?
Sure.
Great. please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chair and Senators, my name is Dave Williams. I work with the Division of Medical Assistance in the Department of Health and Social Services. I guess I'll speak very quickly since I've got about 2 minutes and 30 seconds or so left. First thing I want to do is say that, yes, I like the way Commissioner Ysera spoke of this as phase two. This is something that we do support from our department. It is a plan that would allow folks to live in their home. And there are some things between home and the nursing home that need to be addressed as well. And in Project Choice, one of the things we did address was the need for assisted living homes. And in the bill, what I wanted to do, and the reason I'm speaking, is just to call attention to some things that we particularly want to highlight to you. On page two of the bill, where we're speaking about...
When you say the bill, which one?
The bill. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm speaking on Senate Bill 249.
Okay.
Has to do with assisted living homes. In the bill, page two, it clarifies what is an assisted living home. What we want to do is say that it's our understanding, like in line 29, that it is not a medical facility, it's not a nursing home, it's to be something different. It's a place where someone lives. They may receive medical care there or health care there, but it's a home. It's not an institution for medical care. As an aside, that would also mean they are not subject to the Medicaid Rate Advisory Commission rate setting and such as that. Another thing which we want to highlight is really farther on back in the bill, I think it's page 28. No, it's page 18, I think. In the section which was noted earlier on section 430 of the bill, page 18, line 19, the wording there, we want to assure ourselves, so we're looking at this and we're working with the Older Alaskans Commission on this, we want to assure ourselves that what this means is that we do have some regulatory ability with respect particularly to those homes who may be towards the larger end of the spectrum. This is for three or more could go quite far. And doing this is a really good idea. It's also a really good idea if we approach it with some financial understanding of what's this really mean to us. The other thing is, I think on that line, we want to assure ourselves that there will not be cost, especially in this first year on this bill. That's what we expect. To do that, we would keep things pretty much the way they are now, where people can receive personal care in their own home. Under our regulations, personal care is typically not available to somebody right now paid for by Medicaid, although it's available. It's not available to them if they're in a foster home, typically because a foster home is receiving state or federal funds through one grant mechanism or another. In that case, we did not pay with Medicaid money on top of what state's already paying for those things. So the other thing was, there was a question earlier about the certificate of need, and what we want to do is assure ourselves along that line is that there won't be conversions of some of the larger facilities like this that might be built. We want to assure ourselves that they won't be converted after construction into a nursing home with no expenditure of $1 million as is required by the certificate of need law. Stranger things have happened, and that one has actually happened in the past, so we want to make sure that we have some assurance that people won't be building assisted living facilities that mysteriously become nursing homes later. With that, thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Did you look at this bill and satisfy yourself that, I'm not sure just what the thrust of your testimony is, are you saying that you should have introduced a fiscal note for Medicaid implications, or are you saying that it's unclear, or just what?
As Commissioner Ucera stated first, we are working on we would be guessing today. We have some work to do.
Okay. You just
don't feel fairly certain about some things, like this year would be zero, because we just would not be able to react, develop rate structure and such for paying this. It is part of our plan to pay. This bill does not require that we pay, but it is part of our plan that was in the three-phase plan of making it possible for someone who's elderly to choose where they live.
If you have language that you want to suggest regarding the conversion or guarding against the conversion into a certificated facility after the fact, I'd be glad to have you submit that, and we'll take it under consideration.
We'd like to submit that later. We need to speak with our companions in the drafting bills.
Great. Are there other questions, Mr. Williams? Okay. Is there anyone else in the audience to testify on 248, 249, or 250? There is someone. I know we're out of time. If you can...
I'm just going to say...
Please state your name for the record.
I'm Pat O'Brien from the Division of Family and Youth Services. Two of these services are leaving our division. I'd like you to read the position paper on this. We very strongly support this package. We've worked with the group to do that, and we feel that by moving particularly the... protection of adults out of the division, that over the long time it'll improve that service. So we're very supportive, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that.
Thank you. That we will hold these bills over, bring them up again at an early date. And
Mr. Chairman, we will get answers to the questions that have been raised up, and we'll hope to have those to you by the first of the week, we can get.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else to come before the committee today? If not, Hess is adjourned.